Freud, Graham Garden, Peter Jones and Kenneth Williams in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. Hello and welcome once again to Just a Minute. Now I'm going to ask them if they can speak for just a minute on some subject that I will give them without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject on the card. And we'll begin the show this week with Kenneth Williams. And Kenneth, a very apt subject for you, and also to begin the show, Making My Mark. Will you talk on that for 60 seconds, if you can, starting now?
Strictly speaking, of course, this is what people did when they couldn't properly write, and therefore, in lieu of a signature, made this particular mark. Well, I wouldn't have to, so I doodle, and the thing I like making most as a mark is an ampersand. People look at it with incredible amazement and say, "Oh, how'd you do that? Lovely effect." And pieces of paper upon which I have done these jottings have been passed around and handed down until the handle dropped off. But in the immediate future, I think I will concentrate on a different kind of mark. That is, the mark that's left, so to speak, after you've attempted something and people say, "He left his mark on that." And in my case, very often, they'll refer to it vocally. A sinus tone, they'll say. But in any case, always, he was lovely.
Clement.
What a lovely fella. You hear that again and again, they say. He left his mark, didn't he? And what a lovely fella he was. The place was better for him. You know what I mean.
Kenneth,
and I'm often caught up with that infectiously. And I'm like, lovely of you. I warm to it immediately. I think it brings out the
I must explain, the pause then was that I left my desk and walked right across the stage here at the Paris Cinema in the West End of London to hit Kenneth Williams over the head to shut him up, because he'd been challenged a long time before that. And but it was bad luck, because you had kept going for 57 seconds when Clement Freud came in with a challenge, which I've almost forgotten now. What was it, Clement?
Repetition of case.
Well, I'm sure you're right. Did he say case twice? I'll have to ask the audience, did he? You've forgotten the same as I have you? All right, so they all say, and the audience are, in this game, the final judge. So, Kenneth, you keep the subject, because the audience say yes. Oh, Kenneth's admitted he did say case twice. So, no, he's honest.
He kept going for about 3 minutes, actually, didn't he?
What?
He kept going for about 3 minutes.
Well, he almost kept going for the whole 28 minutes of the show. I thought we should all go home and just...
I mean, if you hadn't walked across the stage in the West End of London, he would still be talking.
I thought it'd be nice for people abroad who listen to know where we are, stuck here in this little underground subterranean...
Hesitation.
And I would agree, Peter, but Clement Freud has a point for a correct challenge of case, and you take over the subject, therefore, Clement, with 3 seconds to go, and the subject was Making My Mark, starting now.
This is something Princess Anne likes to talk about a great deal.
Well, Clement Freud was speaking when the whistle was blown, which tells us that 60 seconds is up, and he gains an extra point for doing so. He also gained another point. In fact, he's the only person to get any points in that round. And in the 3 seconds, he certainly made his mark in the show.
A trip to the tower, I should
have won. This was partly what was in my mind. Graham Garden, would you begin the next round? And the subject is My Friends. Will you tell us something about them in just a minute, starting now?
I could count my friends on the fingers of one hand, twice, from which you will deduce that I have 2.5 friends. The friend who is only a half is not physically in two parts.
Kenneth Williams has shouted.
Yes, I think I'll have to say that that was going rather slowly, Graham, and give a hesitation to Kenneth, a point for a correct challenge and 46 seconds. My friends, Kenneth, starting now.
All take me as they find me. That is the virtue of one's friends. It's tautologous, of course, to say mutual friend and Dickens should have known better, but then, in my view, he was practically an illiterate. The friends I've been with have been many and varied. In the army, there were some extraordinary acquaintances I struck up in a barrack room in Bombay. And I'd landed off this ship, and this fella said to me, I'll get you a cup of tea by the dockside, you see. Well, I took him at his word. But stand there with my... What do you call it?
Peter Jones's challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, I agree with that one, Peter. There are 10 seconds left for my friends. It's with you, starting now.
Well, my friends, like everybody else's, tend to be people who agree with me and come on to my side against everybody else. And I think as one thinks of...
Clement Freud.
Repetition of everybody else. My friends, like everybody else.
Yes, then. That's right, yes. Yeah. And you got him with only half a second to go, Clement. Oh, I've been told actually I was wrong. 1/5 of a second to go, starting now.
Confirmed.
So once again, Clement Freud was speaking as a whistleman, gained that extra point and has increased his lead at the end of the round. And Clement, your turn to begin. Peter Jones's challenge.
I'm just interested in the timing, because I notice it often happens that somebody finishes and they have half a second, or in that case, 1/5 of a second, to go on speaking. And it never seems to happen that somebody has 27 4/5 seconds to talk. I wonder why that is.
I'll put it right in the next round.
Oh, yes. You mean it is wrong? That's an admission, then, that it's wrong.
No, no.
You say you'll put it right.
Hoisted on my own petard. All right.
No, I'm not talking about your petard. I wouldn't dream of it. This is a family show.
We'll try and keep it that way, Peter. Yes. And I will try and please you. And that's could be misunderstood as well by saying something to the effect that you've just brought up.
Yes, thank you very
in the
much.
Next round. And we are going to start with Clement Freud. The subject is what I listen to, and our 60 seconds, as usual, to start, starting now.
This is the sort of phrase I deplore because it ends in a preposition.
Kenneth Williams, the
chairman. Well, yes, that sounded extraordinarily like a hesitation,
yes,
or a fluff or something. I don't know.
If it
really
was somebody
know.
Who wasn't as brilliant at the game as Clement Freud is, I would probably let him get away with it.
Yes.
But as it was a correct challenge, you have it, what I listen to, and there are 50 4/15 of seconds. I'm sorry, 55 4/15, I miscalculated slightly, on what I listen to, starting now.
Well, of course, it would have to be the news, mostly. I'm a great glutton for the news.
And Graham Gardner's challenge.
Repeat of news.
Yes.
No, I said nudes. The news about the news.
I think you're flanneling, because over here it sounded like two news.
I don't believe...
Do I look like a flanneler?
I don't
believe... You look like a nude.
I don't believe you can listen to a nude.
News about the nudes, you great fool.
Well, you can listen for a little while, but probably you'll get carried away after that. Graham, you have the subject of what I listen to. There are 49 seconds for Graham Garden to talk about what I listen to, starting now.
When I am not sitting trying to glean some information about the unclothed people, which is broadcast from time to time on the radio...
Clement Freud.
Repetition of time.
Yes, from time to time.
Ah.
Clement, you listened well, and you have a point, and what I listen to is the subject, and there are 43 seconds left, starting now.
Where I came from, how I got there, whom I play with, what I walked by, things I looked at, are other examples of phrases that end with a preposition, not a proposition.
Kenneth Williams, a challenge.
A deviation. This is a grammatical dissertation. It's not what I listen to.
Yeah, the subject is what I listen to, not...
Let me get into it.
No, no, you haven't got into it with any speed. You're talking about sentences that finish with prepositions, which is not the subject. So, Kenneth has a correct challenge, and there are 29 seconds left, starting now.
Also, I'd like a bit of Marla, you know. That can be very easy on the ear, and he got a lovely melody from a bird, but it kept on singing the same thing, so he got a rifle and shot it, and got on with doing the orchestration, and his wife had to take the food out to this shed, because he didn't allow her in while the muse of inspiration lighted on his shoulder. He said she got in the way. She had to leave this toast and this marmalade or whatever, you know, that he had in the morning on the doorstep.
Well, Kenneth Williams was then speaking when the whistle went. He gained an extra point for that, as well as other points in the round. And your second, 1 point behind Clement Freud at the end of the round, and Peter Jones to start the next one. The subject is metrication. Would you talk on that one in just a minute, starting now?
Well, I think the metric system has got a great deal to recommend it, but I must admit I regret the passing of the words like yard, mile, inch, rod, pole, perch, chain.
Kenneth Williams.
Well, the subject's metrication, and we've just got a list of things which have nothing to do with metrication.
Oh, yes, they are, because once metrication comes in, those will be finished with.
Well, the subject's metrication, not those things.
So will cucumber salad.
Exactly, yeah.
Quite I nice, think yeah. In my mind, they are directly...
To your mind?
Non-existent.
I'm terribly sorry I brought it into the discussion. I will rapidly take it out and say, in my position as chairman, I have to make a decision and... I can't sit here. I consider that they are connected with metrication, if only because...
They're connected with metrication.
And I definitely feel that... I definitely agree with what Peter was saying, because he was expressing exactly the same point of view, and he's got a very fine mind. And there are 47 seconds, Peter, for metrication starting now.
Kilometer, centimeter, millimeter. I suppose they'll object to those if I go on repeating them, will they, do you think?
Well, Kenneth Williams, a challenge.
Pause.
Hesitation.
Yes, but exactly as the chairman was agreeing with him and talking. He was doing something. He's got no mind, this chairman. He's embarrassment, isn't he? Peter, I tripped you up. I'm very sorry. It's because they've been so rude and you've been so kind. We'll ignore that challenge. Say that you have 41 seconds to continue on metrication starting now.
Yes, well, it is, as I say, a remark.
Clement Freud.
It's the second yes, well... But I suppose that would trip him up.
Did I say yes well before?
I'm afraid you did, Peter. And there are 37 seconds on metrication with you, Clement, starting now.
I'm really very unhappy about metric.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Repetition of very. He said very, very unhappy.
No, he only said one very.
Oh, really?
Yes, he did, yes. Yes.
Terribly difficult to hear over here.
And it's very difficult.
It sounded like very, very unhappy to me. It really did, didn't it, Graham?
Yes, it did. Yes.
Well, turn your deaf aid up, for goodness.
What was that?
Honestly, what a program. A chairman with no mind and deaf panelists. Cavan.
And he's dropped off in the front.
No. There are 36 seconds, Clement, on metrication with you starting now.
I am fond of all the things that metrication is trying to get rid of. I like yards and inches and feet. I believe that Fahrenheit is a much more attractive scale of measuring temperature than either centigrade, Celsius, or even Raumur. And I'm not at all cheerful about the prospect of dividing everything by 10 or multiplying it, decimalization generally. It's so un-British.
Peter Jones' challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, he couldn't think what it was like, could he?
No, he couldn't. Everything else but that.
There are 7 seconds left for you, Peter. Or would you prefer me to say there are 7.8 seconds left on metrication? Oh, no, 7.95 seconds left. Metrication starting now.
I think it's bound to come and spread all over the United Kingdom.
Kenneth Williams.
World deviation. I mean, he's saying he thinks it's bound to come. We know it's going to come. It's absurd to say he thinks it's bound to come.
Well, then he's absolutely right, isn't he?
No.
Absolutely right. He keeps the subject, and there are 3 seconds on metrication starting now.
Those of us who have been on the continent and come back with rulers and measuring tape.
Peter Jones was then speaking when the whistle went. He gained an extra point, others in the round as well. He's one ahead of Kenneth Williams, but two behind our leader, who is Clement Freud. Graham Garden is trailing a little, and Kenneth Williams, will you begin the next round? The subject, the trivium. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Isn't it much heard of nowadays? I believe it comes from the medieval school of learning, which divided the social arts, so to speak, into trivium and quadrivium. But the one we're dealing with here is grammar, rhetoric, and logic. A pity nowadays that public speakers are not well versed in these matters. I can well recall the time of my youth when I saw men who were orators of enormous stature and could hold spellbound. And I heard the great and iron Bevan, and a heckler shouted out at him, "Wait, our Labour! Our Conservative! What about Liberal?" And he said I was never one to frown upon ambition. And they fell about laughing. Of course, that was the period when...
Clement Freud is challenged with 1.5 seconds to go.
Why do they fall about laughing?
Oh, he had that sort of timing. He was a brilliant speaker.
I see.
So what is the challenge? Brilliant.
There was no challenge. It was, I wanted to know.
I'm disagreeing with Clement's challenge. You have 1.5 seconds.
Oh, I don't want it back now. I've gone off the whole thing. You've got to get worked up, haven't you? You know. You get the wheels going.
I must explain to the listeners, he was so worked up before that he nearly knocked Clement Freud in both eyes when he...
Did I?
Yes. Oh, sorry.
You may have guessed he was then trying to make up for it. Kenneth, you have 1.5 seconds on the trivium starting now.
Logic, of course, is an essential ingredient.
The Kenneth Williams fan club is in the audience. And Kenneth was speaking when the whistle went, and they made quite certain that they applauded the fact, and... He's equal in the lead at the end of that round with Clement Freud. Something which is very clever. He's got them all on the same side of the audience where he sits, because then none of them clap for this. Graham Garden, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is hops. Would you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
I used at one time to have a pet frog whose name was Ampersand, and his mode of peregrination or perambulation was to proceed forward in bounds, leaps, or hops, often measuring several centimetres. This he would do from dawn till dusk, day after 24-hour period. After 7-day period, and month after year.
Kenneth Williams, a chance.
Two periods, I'm afraid.
Bad luck, Graham. It was so good, yes. Full of the trivium there. There are 36 seconds on hops with you, Kenneth, starting now.
Well, the great Cockney pastime used to be to go down into Kent and pick the hops ready for the actual brewing, do you see? And it's a holiday, and they all got a little gear, and there's little baskets, do you see? And the lovely things. Oh, I've said, do you see, twice.
I know you have. And you pressed your buzzer as well.
Yeah, but I thought I'd pull myself up because he's done it, got a point. He's done it, got a point. They won't deny their point.
If you were listening,
their point.
If you were listening, so he gets a point for a correct challenge, and he keeps the subject of hops. And there are 17 seconds left starting now.
But they are the most appalling smelling stuff, you know, if you get it after a few weeks. And I was down there in this brewery. They asked me down there to get the flavour of...
Clement Freud has challenged.
two down there's.
Yes, you were down there brewery too long. Clement, have your subject 6.5 seconds hops starting now.
Is it true that wood lice jump backwards? Said a questioner in the National Geographical magazine, and the answer was. Can I go on? Because it was a rather good answer.
Yes, I'd love to have it.
The answer was, a woodlouse is a small, hard-backed, conically shaped insect which in projection lands facing the direction of takeoff. To which the editor said, yes is the word you're searching for.
That applause sounded more like sympathy than appreciation. Clement, speaking as the whistle went on hops, you gained an extra point and one other in the round, so you're equal in the lead again with Kenneth Williams at the end of the round. Peter Jones and Graham Gardner training a little, and Clement, your turn to begin. The subject, the essential sausage. It's an strange subject, difficult enough to say, isn't it? But anyway, can you talk on the essential sausage in just a minute, starting now?
I don't believe there is such a thing as an essential sausage. When you talk about the essentials of life, then bread, water, air, perhaps cucumber salad. But surely an essential sausage is getting it a bit far. Perhaps if one must mention an essential sausage, it should have a modicum of meat. It invariably has too much bread and insufficient spice and a terrible dearth of seasoning. That's all I'm going to say.
And the regulars were so surprised it took our guest to come in first. Graham Gardner, and your challenge was?
Hesitation.
I think you're right.
Well, look, I don't think there's hesitation.
Then it's a foul.
Well, having come to a full stop, you hesitated and then you stopped. There we are. There are 29 seconds for Graham to talk about the essential sausage, starting now.
There was a case I saw reported in the papers recently about a tin of baked beans and sausages, the label of which contained a photograph of the contents and four of the meaty substance, whereas on opening the product, a housewife discovered that there were in fact only three of the essential sausages. Therefore, the missing one would be, in my view, the essential sausage.
And I hope her claim was upheld by the... what's the score at the end of that round? Graham, you were speaking when the whistle went. You get an extra point, but I'm afraid you're still in fourth place, just behind Peter Jones, Kenneth and Williams, and Clement Freud still in the lead. And Peter Jones, your turn to begin the subject, trampolines. Will you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
One of the most delightful inventions of mankind, and completely harmless, like fountains and toy balloons, and the greatest of all, perhaps, music, because people can jump on these and get a feeling of lightness, perhaps only captured by the people on the moon when they went up there, able to jump up in the air for several yards.
Kenneth Williams was jumping.
People was twice.
Oh, yes. Really?
Yes. And, Kenneth, you have the subject now of trampolines, and there are 38 seconds left, starting now.
Well, it is exhilarating, because you're blown or thrown right up into the air, and you come down with the wind singing past the old eardrobes, and it really is quite extraordinary. It's wrong to say that it's harmless, because I saw someone go up and come down in a very nasty fashion, and they had to be dealt with by the St. John's Ambulance Brigade. But, on the other hand, like all these things you see, it is a question of usage. Now, if you know how to go about it, it's like your hang glider. The same thing applies. If you know what you're up to, you can't go far wrong.
I know why I wasn't interrupted.
Why?
Nobody wanted it.
Because no one more deliberately repeated last night, if you know what you're up to.
They didn't want it.
They didn't want it. At the end of that round, he's gone into a lead ahead of Clement Freud, and it's his turn to begin. Kenneth, the subject is My Considered Opinion. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
It was long ago remarked by an ancient divine that all the public know of a man is his reputation, and as to his character, God alone can know that. It was a sentiment I heartily endorse, and when I think, out with the barrow on the street all day hawking the greens about, nice holly flowers, you can't beat ours, you can hear them shout, I'm here, girls! Nice French beans, curly little greens, your spuds all nice and brown. And if you boil them half an hour, they're like a bowl of flour. Who challenged?
Peter Jones challenged.
What a fool I was in full flight.
My Lord. What utter dribbling flood, though. Peter, what was your challenge?
Well, it was deviation and hesitation, both, really.
Deviation.
Interesting combination.
Entirely, yes. He was boiling up his considered opinion up there. Peter, I heartily agree with your challenge, and you have 21 seconds to talk on My Considered Opinion, starting now.
My considered opinion is only arrived at after a great deal of deliberation and thought. I retire to a little shed at the bottom of the garden, and there I sit down and I cogitate. And after making numerous notes on the paper which is to hand, I come...
Well, after that little glimpse into Peter Jones's life and the rather simple way he lives, he gained a point for speaking when the whistle went. He moved forward, but he stayed in third place, and I've also been told we have no more time to continue with the game of just a minute. So if Kenneth Hinsel will start chuckling in that inane way, I'll tell you what the final score was. Graham Garden, returning after his triumphs of a few weeks back, came in fourth place, a few points behind Peter Jones. Peter was 2 points behind Clement Freud, and Clement was 2 points behind this week's winner, who is Kenneth Williams. Well, we've certainly enjoyed playing the game, and we hope that you'll all want to hear us again the same time next week. Until then, from us, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by John Browell.